Heavenly Father, we thank you for the encouragement you give to us each and every day. We thank you, Lord, for being able to know without a doubt that you are our Saviour and our God. And Lord, as we now look into your word, we pray we be encouraged, Lord, to see that you are with us every way. That you lead and guide, and Lord, you ask us to follow. And Lord, may our hearts just think of that as we listen to your word to us today, that we would follow you and all the commands and directions you give us, that it would be, Lord, to our benefit and for your glory. And these things we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 If you're not already there, open up to Proverbs chapter 3. We'll just be touching mainly on the two verses there, verses 5 and 6. And the title is Living Under God's Direction. You know, it's a true thing. We all like to know where we're going. I don't know about anyone else, but we like to know where we're going to go. It's a part of our makeup as human beings. And whether it's direction for our relationships, whether it's our employment and our family life, we're always seeking direction, which way to go. And people like to have their lives managed. They love order and control. And unlike the animal world that lives by instincts, man has always had the need to have a sense of order and control in their lives. And God has placed in the heart of every person a need, and that need is to know him. And all people are capable of being led. All have a desire to want to know where they're headed in life. Now, whether a person wants to admit that or not, their lives are headed somewhere. They really are. They're following a path. And the choices a person makes determines what path they're going to be on. Now, Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." That's right. Man is always headed in some direction. And the most important point, the most crucial aspect to man's life is what direction they take and who, and I say that with a big capital W, who or what is managing their affairs. You know, we don't have to look too hard to see there's a lot of directors in this world. If you are going to open up any paper or whatever we're looking at, there's life coaches. There's music. Look at the direction music has on people. Entertainment, politics. You know, there's all these sort of things. Mediums, horoscopes, all trying to give directions. People chase the god of money. They're looking for direction. And they all have a purpose, and that is to manage one's affairs, to have a goal to head towards. And many, if not the majority of people, look to those things to bring order and purpose into their life. And man needs directing, but who or what does that directing is crucial to the outcome of our lives. And for the believer, we have the one true director, amen. We have purpose and fulfillment for our lives through him. We have the Lord God to lead us in the paths of righteousness. We have his word, his truth. We have his presence to lead and guide us. Now, following God's directions, guess what? You'll never get lost. You will never get lost. If you follow those silly directions you get in your car or on your phone off that person who talks to you, it takes you 3 hours to get to a place that's only an hour away, amen. It happens to me all the time. But with God following his directions, you never get in the dead end. They always lead to a life that has purpose, a life that has hope, a life that finds encouragement no matter what comes up, no matter what situation we find ourselves in, we can still have joy. Even in the darkest of times. And the Christian life is a life that has purpose. It's a life that God leads. And his desire is to lead and guide us no matter what we're going through. Difficult times and the rejoicing of the good time. But following God's directions doesn't mean we're immune to problems. We do face difficulties. We do have discouragements. But it does mean we do get through them. We will overcome the barriers that seem too hard for us to face. Even in the face of death, we have, look at Psalm 23, we all know it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me through the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, sometimes for a believer, the best place to be is in the middle of a battle, because it's when we're in the fire, we're more likely to seek the Lord's leading. Because sometimes when things are going well, when things are going according to the plan we may have set, we will always tend to take the lead. Now, our text this morning, it's well known. You know, nearly every Christian can quote it, but it has abundant truth and meaning for a believer to live by. It is the way of victory over those three deadly powerful evils, which is the world, the flesh, and the devil. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. In the context of this passage of Scripture, what we have here is a father teaching his son the need for obedience. And in verses 1 to 12. But in verses 5 and 6, we see the immaterial nature of man, and the material doesn't mean much as the immaterial. Now, the immaterial nature of man deals with emotions. It deals with the will and the intellect that makes up our being. And for the Bible College students, that's the tripartite man, amen? That's who it is. And the material side doesn't affect a person the same way the immaterial side does. And that's what is meant by the phrase, all thine heart. See, it's the total inner being of the son he's talking to. See, when the emotion, the will, and the intellect is under the direction of God, the rest follows along, and by that I mean the material part of life. See, our walk, our relationship with the Lord isn't about the outward walk. Now, that's important, very important, so important it will not work for our good until we get right on the inner part of our being. And it's this area that causes worry. It causes fear and it causes anxiety. And God does not want his children to be affected in that way, because that part is also the area of joy and encouragement and hope and all those things that go along with that. And until we are satisfied and contented and fulfilled in our emotions, our wills and our intellect, we'll never know the depths and the importance of being led and directed by the Lord. Now, to receive directions means to follow an order or a command. And the first command to us there in verse 5 is trust. Now, that's dealing with the part of man, our emotions. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And now that word trust is a primary root word, has a lot of meanings come from it, but the main one here means to hide in refuge. So it's a place we go. It's like going into a cave to get away from trouble. And the father here is teaching his son about obedience and the blessings that come from that. And now the father is securing his son in a personal relationship with the Lord, because he wants to bond his son to the teaching of the Lord. See, the son's confidence isn't to be placed in the impersonal. By that I mean the material area of his life. In other words, to the code of ethics he might rationalize in his mind. Yet trust and confidence is put in a promise-keeping and personal God, and that's where we need to stand. A God who stands behind all moral order, a God who's behind the rich heritage a believer has, and all the promises that go along with that truth. Now, all the things we are taught are only good to the extent that God backs them up. Amen? If he's not going to back them up, what's the point? See, if it's not God endorsed, it's no good for the believer. And our confidence, our security, all our hopes are only as sure, and listen, because this is important, they are only as sure as our trust in him. If we don't trust him, we'll never be sure. And the command we have is to place all we believe, all we face, all that comes our way, we are to place in the Lord. We're to trust in Him. Listen, He has a perfect plan and a perfect purpose for our lives, and His desire is for us to follow His directions. Where He leads, we should follow. That's trust. When we trust in Him, we can be bold, we can be confident, and we will feel secure and safe. Think about this. God regards us. He does. He's divinely interested in our welfare, and He will see to it that we have all we need and go in the way which is best for us to walk in. That's what He wants to do. And when we come face to face with the pressures in this life, the pressures in this world, if we've placed our trust in Him, the effects of those pressures have a completely different outcome for us. We're able to stand firm. We're able to have a sure footing and be certain that God is for us. And as Romans 8:31 says, then who or what can be against us? Nothing. See, trusting in the material, and by that I mean the outward, does not relieve the effects life has on the inner. Everyone has emotions. We are emotional beings, and what we believe to be good and right for us affects what God allows into our lives. It has an emotional effect on us. You see, we'll either run to Him and trust, and by that mean find refuge in, find a hope and encouragement, or we're going to try and handle everything in our own strength. And a person will not find a place of refuge in a home, in a marriage, in a family, a job, and all those things. They may make us feel secure on the outside. They may bring some joy, some sense of security. But on the inside, the fears and the worries and the concerns are just still there. They haven't gone anywhere. The only way to have the rest is if that is the right rest, if that's if it's the right term, is to place our complete trust in Him. No matter what it is, we trust in Him. And that means we will make right decisions, godly decisions, most importantly, obedient decisions when it comes to every area of our life. See, there is a believer's peace, their joy, their contentment, their hopes concerning family, friends, employment, all of that. When we are right on the inner man, when our complete trust is in God and what He can do, the effects of what's going on should have little effect on our lives, no matter what's going on the outside, other than to rely in complete dependence and confidence in His abilities to take care of us. Now, do you trust in that today? Or are you being eaten up on the inside with fear and worry? See, when we're right on the inner, when our complete trust is in God and what He can do, the effects of what's going on around us will have little effect on us. In fact, it will drive us to Him. Jeremiah 32:27 says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh." Did we know the rest of that verse? "Is there anything too hard for me?" God's asked us a question. "Is there anything too hard for me?" He said. What's our reply? It should be to trust in Him. Now the Lord said the same thing to Abraham in Genesis 18. He came to Abraham and He tells him and Sarah are going to have a son. And remember, Sarah laughed within herself saying, "After am I wax old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also." She's doubting God can perform a miracle. She's saying, "We're too old to have children. It's finished. It's over." And the Lord rebukes her for that. He said, the Lord said unto Abraham, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." And you know what Sarah does? Sarah denied, saying, "I laugh not." But she was afraid, and he said, "Nay, this is God, but thou didst laugh." Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. The Lord knows what's going on the inside. We can't hold anything back from him. We can't keep anything away from him. And there's a difference between God. See, God is omniscient. He knows all things. The devil doesn't. He doesn't know what's going on the inside. He doesn't know what we think, but God knows. He knows all about our emotions. He knows what we don't even know about ourselves. Or he knows what we're not even prepared to admit about ourselves. It's a bit like a turtle. Naomi showed me a picture of a turtle that went into their work the other day, out of the river. And I thought to myself, well, a turtle doesn't go anywhere until it sticks its neck out, amen? It's got to stick its neck out. You know, many times we've got to do the same thing. We've got to stick our neck out and say, God, I trust you. I'm being eaten up on the inside. I'm being pulled over this way. I'm being pulled over that way. I don't see how the day's going to pan out. But I'm going to stick my neck out and I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust that you're an infinite God. Your abilities are above all I could ever imagine, compared to my ability and my capabilities. And I'm going to trust in you. No matter where the walk takes me, I'll trust in you. And like Abraham, remember, he was told to get up and go to a city he didn't even know. And he trusted in God's ability, not his own. And Abraham was able to say, he says, I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. We're going to learn to trust. Secondly, our intellect. It says, lean not unto thy own understanding. That's another command. And we see the second part of man's makeup. We've had the emotion, now we come to the intellect. Thine own understanding. So to lean means to rest upon. And there's a saying that goes along the lines, one shouldn't rest on their own laurels. We've probably heard that one. To be so satisfied with our own achievements that we make no effort to try and improve in our walk with God. Now, to lean is a verb. We know that's an action word. And when we begin to think of ourselves without the guidance of the Holy Spirit, when we become satisfied with our walk with God, you know what happens? We lose the desire to seek him more and more every day. And we move forward in a relationship that has left him out. Our understanding of God, of life in general, is so limited, we are in danger of becoming satisfied with where we are. And all the while, God is longing for us to find out about more about him and what he can do and accomplish in our lives. He wants us to know what his desire is for us, and we know what it is to be conformed to the image of his son. You know, I don't know if you've ever heard of a man called Pablo Casals. He was the most famous and greatest cellist who ever lived. When he was 95, he was asked by a young reporter why he still practiced 6 hours a day. And his reply was, because I think I'm making progress. You see, if we try and use our own intellect, act in our own wisdom, without placing our trust in God, then it can't be called wisdom. It can't be called understanding. As it's related to here. And that word lean there is referring to leaning on a broken crutch. See, a person is foolish to rely on a tiny thimble of our knowledge compared to the vast knowledge of God, which it'd be like standing on the beach with a thimble of water and looking at the vast oceans. That's the comparison. Even that doesn't come close. See, our own understanding is always mostly governed by urges we can't control. Proverbs 26:12 says, seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There's more hope of a fool than of him. And when was the last time we paid attention to the Holy Spirit's leading? We got decisions to make. We have the situations we have to face. Is our spirit under the guidance of God's spirit, or have we decided to try and take it on ourselves? If we do, we'll have worry, we'll have fear, and we'll have anxiety. But if we come to the Lord in complete trust, if we come leaning not with our broken crutch of understanding, but desiring His will and His way for us, we will come to understanding that His way is the only way to do things. Now, when Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28, He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden," He says, "I'll give you rest." He says, "Learn of me. Learn of me." You see, the Lord's way are so far removed from the way we understand things. Isn't that just the truth? And the battle that we're in is so real. We need Him without a doubt to teach us, and we need to lean on Him because He's a crutch that will never break. And when one decides to conform to the Lord's commands, when we decide to surrender and submit to Him, the areas of life that we battle with, all of a sudden, we begin to see things for what they are. The worries of the world, when they come upon us, when the old nature, the flesh, is active, when we decide to conform to the Lord's commands and surrender to Him, we will see that God's in control. And we can trust and we can lean upon Him. We also have to be wary that the devil comes along. At that very moment, we want to trust and lean. And he taps that little thin edge of the wedge that I always talk about in. Not too much. He doesn't want us to see the attack coming. Just a little tap here. Just enough to fit it in. Then he comes back a little bit later. As the worry increases, as the doubts and fears rise, he taps it again. A bit more, and he keeps coming and tapping and coming and tapping again until we are now leaning back on our own understanding and trusting in our own ways instead of allowing the battle to belong to the Lord. We try in our limited wisdom and strength, and guess what? We end up defeated. We end up deflated, discouraged, and if we're not careful, it'll just bring us down. Brothers and sisters, as a believer, if we lean upon the Lord, we're never out. We are never out. Isaiah 40 verse 31 says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Shall. They're all promises. The last one is acknowledge. That's the will. We've had the emotion, the intellect, now the will. "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." See, the command from God now is to an entire and an exclusive commitment in all thy ways. It's all of it. Not just some. Selective obedience is what? Disobedience. If you're going to obey in some areas and not others, you'll never have rest. You'll never have peace. You'll never trust in the Lord. It's every area of one's life. Whatever we take part in, wherever we go, whoever we socialize with, deeds, action and words, in all thy ways, he says, acknowledge him. See, that's the Lord's call upon our life, is to confess and recognize the Lord has rights and authority over us and our lives. Is that true or not? Is it or not?
Amen.
Amen, it is. To acknowledge, to know, it's a personal knowledge, it's an intimate experience with a person's reality. And that's the question. Is God real to you and me? Is he so real that he's the driving force behind our life? Or are we still behind the wheel? I remember a pastor giving an illustration. There's a certain plane that's only a small plane that you fly, but as soon as the wheels hit the ground, you have to let go of the choke or whatever steers the plane. You've got to let go because the plane rights itself. And he said, there's nothing scarier than being in one of these planes, because as you watch it come into land, the pilot takes his hands off all the controls. And the plane hits the ground and straightens itself up. And that's exactly what God wants us to. He wants us to stop flying the plane. He doesn't want us to be in control. He wants us to let go and hand the controls over to him. And a real personal knowledge from God comes from risking oneself to be obedient to the specific commands and teachings that covers all the behavior areas of our life. It's a full reliance on Him to keep His promises as we obey His commands. Trust, lean, acknowledge, the cure, the remedy for all fears and worries. See, you cannot separate knowledge and wisdom. A mechanic can fix a motor because he knows how a motor's made up. And wisdom and knowledge are the same. And in Proverbs, they're linked to, it's intellectual, it's emotional, it's spiritual. It's a state of knowing that when we're right with God, we'll be the overcomers no matter what we face. It enables those who possess those qualities to cope with adversity, to tear down those strongholds that want to grab a hold of us and keep us bound up. Christ came to set us free. And if we're in Christ, we are free, what? Indeed. It enables us to live godly, have godly behaviors, live godly lives and attitudes. And one, you could memorize the whole book of Proverbs. And we could still lack all of that if God has not affected our hearts with being able to trust Him and lean upon Him and acknowledge Him. See, by trusting God exclusively, you'll know Him in a way you've never known before. And it tells us what happens then. He shall direct thy path. Notice the principle: obedience, trusting, leaning, acknowledging. What does it bring? Blessing. He shall direct thy paths. See, this is a promise with a condition. That's our obedience. It's the condition that promises God will direct. Notice it's paths, not path. It's plural. This is for every area of our life, every part of it. You look at Proverbs 3, you read the whole thing, and what do we see? We see peace, fullness of life, prosperity, God taking care of us. He'll direct, that is, He'll make straight, He'll make right, He'll make honest, upright conduct that doesn't go out of bounds or astray. God will direct, He'll make smooth the path of those who are wise. He will remove the obstacles that hinder those people in life. And wisdom is always given to those who want to seek God's guidance. And before we can recognize these wonderful truths here, we've got to see our lives from a bird's eye view, not the worm's eye view. Amen? One that's buried in the ground. You know, we're told to urge and encourage to cultivate the habit of letting God take control and guide every area of our life. Let me ask you something. If you're a believer, what is there to worry about? Honestly. Look at Luke 12:24. Consider the ravens. For they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? Yet we worry, and worry reflects a habitual lack of faith and trust in the Lord's willingness and His ability to provide for us. You know, when we worry or we lack trust, you know, it shows our hesitation to believe God is able to meet all our needs. You know, He wants to meet our needs in a spiritual way as well as a practical way. And we become anxious and we don't see how am I going to provide for myself? Do you know that worry comes so easily, yet it doesn't change one thing about our circumstances. Not one thing. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Do you know that worry is a much more accurate gauge of our faith and trust in God than any doctrinal statement we may make? Instead of fretting, we'd be better to remind ourselves that God has repeatedly testified in His Word, He just loves us and has done what no one else could do, and that has given His only begotten Son to save us. And He's promised again and again that He will take care of every need, and He has constantly declared His sovereignty over our future. And if after all these assurances we're still anxious, we need to become better acquainted with our Lord. But none of this means anything if you and I haven't listened and prepared to act on what He's told us. I'll finish with a few verses. James chapter 1, verse 22. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. What's the next one? Lean not on thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the promise-making God you are. And Lord, we've seen three conditions of a promise: to trust, to lean, and to acknowledge. Father, we are either going to apply and act on these, or we're not. But if we do, you have promised to lead and direct us. Lord, we thank you so much that you cannot go back on a promise, and that you want us to take all the cares, all the worries, all the anxiety that we have, and to trust you with it, to give it to you and let you take control, to walk in victory that Christ procured on the cross for us. Father, we love you, we thank you, and we pray we take this into our lives, not just for the day, but for the rest of the time we're on this earth, that we trust, lean, and acknowledge you daily. Father, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.